Thanks, Lori, and hi, everybody. Welcome to our fifth Ace the Test call. And as Lori said, this is based on the Testing Mom score system, where today what we're going to do is a deep dive into step five. And then afterwards, we will take your questions. So be sure to print the handout that we sent you before the call, because you may want to take a few notes on it, or just take out a piece of paper, because I think you may want to write down some of the ideas we're going to share with you tonight. And if you missed the last call, you can go back and listen to all of them. Just log into Testing Mom and click the green parent resources bar on the homepage. The recordings for all of the ACE the Test calls are right on top in our parent resources section. So let's first do a very quick review of the score system. And as I've mentioned before, the system emerged directly from our Testing Mom parent community. Since 2010, we've had over 400,000 parents work with our program in some way. And after using our program, parents often will tell us how their kids did on the test. And whenever a parent reports back to us that their child scored in the 97th to 99th percentile, we always ask, well, how did you do it? How did you help your child get to such good results? And parents just love to share their best techniques with us. So through the years, we've tracked what they've told us works and what they've told us doesn't work when it comes to helping their kids ace these important tests. And when we look at what works, it really does always come down to actions taken within these five steps that we now call the score system. So let me do a very quick review of each step. It starts with the application process. We say, start with the application and test requirements. And this step is all about learning the process to apply to the program you want for your child, and gaining an understanding of the test that your child will be given or the skills they're going to assess in your child. The second step is to challenge your child through practice. And here we're talking about doing practice questions that are modeled after the actual questions on the test your child will take. And in this step, we really stress the importance of mixing up your tools, making your test prep fun, creating a routine, and motivating your child. The next step is overcome common test-taking mistakes, and here we're talking about all the common mistakes kids make because they have so little experience taking a test. And in this step, we identify what the mistakes are, and we show you how to teach your child to avoid making these mistakes. Okay, so the next is reinforce underlying abilities. Here we talk about first identifying the underlying skills your child needs to do well on any test, and then how to build these skills outside of test prep. And finally, emphasize listening, focus, and perseverance. This is what we're going to be talking about today, and these are the three most important traits young children need to have when taking a test. And for older kids, focus and perseverance are still very key to test-taking success. So let's talk about building listening, focus, and perseverance abilities in your child. And I just want to point out that these abilities in particular are needed not just for a test, but for school success and life success. I mean, these are not the types of skills that you can work on once or twice to master. These are skills that take a lot of time to build, and they're built over a long period where you work on them in many different ways and in many different situations. So don't expect your child to master these overnight, and don't worry if they don't, especially when they're very young, if they don't have these skills, because they will get them, but it just takes a lot of time. And we're going to give you a lot of good ideas today to really help build these skills. So let's start with building focus and attention skills. And many young children do poorly on tests because they just haven't built up the test stamina that it takes to sit still for a long period of time and do something that's not as interesting to them as, say, building their, with their Legos would be. We're asking them to answer test questions, so it may not be the first thing they want to do. So focusing and paying attention to that may be hard for some kids. And focus can also wane when children feel tired, hungry, or restless. So those are also things that will affect your child's skills in this area. So when it comes to sitting still for a long time, children are just learning to sit still and focus for long periods of time by when they start elementary school. So if your child is having trouble with this, you want to work on building up this skill. And here's a good technique for doing that. When you first start working with your child and doing, you know, some practice questions with them, use a fun timer to see how long he can concentrate. And let your child set the timer. Kids love to set timers. And if your child can only focus for 10 minutes, then that's fine. The next time you sit down to work on practice questions, let him know that yesterday you were able to focus for 10 minutes. Today, let's see if you can pay attention for 15 minutes. And I want you to use words like focus and attention so your child starts to learn what these words mean. So let's say the next day you go for 15 minutes and you're going for it. So you let your child set the timer and you see if he can do it. And if he does, you know, give him something fun like a temporary tattoo or some little surprise. That makes it worth it for him to focus and for a very, you know, little bit longer period of time. And each day you set the timer for longer and longer, and eventually your child will be able to sit still and focus for as long as he needs to. Another thing that helps kids sit still and focus for longer periods of time is just keeping the practice that you're doing together fun, because that helps kids stay on task longer. And you want to practice with your child when they are not hungry and they are not tired, because those conditions will definitely interfere with paying attention and focus. Now, on test day, be sure to send your child into the test very well rested and fed. And you don't want to change your child's sleep schedule at all in the week preceding the test. Because research shows that even 1 hour of sleep loss on the nights before a test can impact your child's score. So make sure your child eats a good breakfast on test day and has their regular sleep in the days before the test. And if the test is important, you want to let your child know that, but without stressing her out. So let her know that you want her to focus when she's taking the test, and she'll know what that means because you taught her. You want her to have fun and do her very best, that that's what you expect of her. Now, another problem a lot of kids have is they rush through the test or they don't pay attention when they're taking the test. And this is something that we talked about more when we were doing step three, which was overcoming test-taking mistakes. And this often happens when each question is of the same type and the child is left on their own to work through a series of questions. And kids they seem to think that the first one through with the questions is the winner and they're going to get some kind of prize. And, of course, that isn't true. Or they may just want to get through the questions so they can go off and do something else that's more fun. So I'm going to give you a solution to this problem. And the solution is go through about 10 questions with your child without really helping her. Ask the questions and mark the answers that she gives. And then go back through the questions and mark each one that has an incorrect answer. And with you by your child's side, taking it a little bit more slowly, see if your child can give you the correct answer to the one she got wrong. And if you find that she cannot correct her mistakes, then this tells you she's having trouble with the underlying material and that that's what you need to work on. But if you find that she can easily fix her answers with you sitting by her side, you know that the mistakes she made were because she maybe wasn't paying attention or she was rushing. Now, with a younger student, you want to tell your child that you're going to do 10 questions in a row and that you can stop practicing after you get 10 questions right in a row. And whenever they miss, they have to start all over again and get another 10 questions right in a row. And you would be amazed at how fast a child will focus when they know that if they can just do five in a row and go off and then watch their favorite TV show and be done, they will really focus. So that's a really good trick to try to get a younger child to focus. Just 10 in a row and we'll be done, but you got to get them right. So that's a good one to do. Now with older students, and really listen to this technique, this is great for teaching them to focus on a test, but it's also good to teach them how to self-correct their homework. What I want you to do is practice some tough testing love. So next time you give your child a set of 10 questions to do, an older child, give the questions back to your child after and say there's 4 mistakes on this page. Go back and find them and correct them yourself. And let your child correct them before he can, you know, go on and do what he really wants to do, like play or watch TV. But eventually I want you to work up to saying to your child, there are mistakes on this page. Go back and find them and correct them. And once you've done this a few times, your child is going to realize that it is better to take her time and get the questions right in the first place rather than to have to go back, find all her mistakes, and fix them. And like, as I said, this is not only a good technique to check your work on a test, but also to check your own homework as well. So it's a good technique. It works for kids. And I also want to encourage you, especially with younger kids, to work on attention skills outside of test prep. And here's 2 activities that are just, they're kind of like games you can play with your child, but they really, really build attention skills. Listen to a song with your child and tell your child to clap every time she hears the horn section come on. So maybe you listen to some jazz and she's listening for those horns and clapping when they come on. Or another thing you can do is just when you're outside and you're on a walk, pick something. It could be anything. You could say, I want you to point out every red thing you find, or point out every round thing you see. Or every motorized thing we pass, you know, so that gets them really focused on what's out there as they walk. So that's a really good one for building visual attention. Now, I want to talk about building listening skills as well, because these are super important, especially for young kids. Because with young kids, the way they take tests is someone is asking them the question and they're looking at pictures and choosing the answer in the pictures in front of them. So when you're practicing for testing, you really want to work on these listening skills. Now, before you start, when you have a really young child, what I do that really seems to get kids focused and listening is I make a really big deal about the fact that I'll say to them, I'll point to my ears and I'll say, now, do you have your listening ears on? Are you paying attention? And I just like make a huge deal of it and I cup my ears and tell them to cup their ears. So they really focus on preparing to listen before I ask the question. And then you'll say, okay, here's the question. And then you ask the question. And you do this when you first start practicing with a child to get them used to really listening to what the test proctor or teacher is saying. And when you're asking your child the question, I want you to teach him to look at you when you're talking. If your child is looking at your face when you speak, as opposed to the floor or the sky, he will listen better. And when he goes in for the test, you want to remind him to look at the special teacher's mouth when she's talking to him, because that will help him hear what she is saying. Another thing, and this is huge for all of you with very young kids, I want you to go into our Skill Building Academy, and we've just added a new program called Hear Builder, H-E-A-R Builder. And this has some wonderful games in it that build auditory memory and following direction skills, which are essentially listening skills needed for tests like the OLSAT, the COGAT, the ITVS, or an IQ test. So if you have a very young child, be sure you get into Hear Builder and that you work on it to really build those listening skills. Another thing you can do is play telephone with your child. Whisper a sentence to him so he hears it, but he almost has to strain to listen. And then have him tell you back exactly what you said and tell them to whisper the sentence to you, and then you say it back. And sometimes get it wrong on purpose and let him correct you. But again, that focuses him on listening. And when you're at home and you give your child oral directions to do something, ask him to repeat what you just said before following the directions. Again, it focuses him on listening. You want to work with your child on memorizing jokes, poems, or songs that he loves, because this involves listening, remembering, and repeating, the same skills that he's going to need for a test or for school. And when you read aloud to your child, stop from time to time and ask her to tell you what has just happened in the story. Be sure she's getting all the big ideas from the story as well as the most relevant details. And now let's talk about building perseverance. And what we're talking about with perseverance is how to help your child keep trying even when the questions get hard. And I want to share some of our suggestions. I have a lot of suggestions in this area, and they all come from parents who have worked with their kids to prepare them for testing. So I think you're going to like these. The first is to teach your child the word perseverance. I know it's a big word, but teach it to your child and point out to your child anytime he demonstrates that quality. So if he works really hard to put a puzzle together and finally does it, or if he works on writing his name and finally can do it, you want to praise him and say, this is such wonderful perseverance. You know, so praise and reward his perseverance. And this way your child will start to understand what it means to stick to a hard task until it's achieved. And I want to suggest that you read books about perseverance. For example, The Little Engine That Could. We all know that one. Read it to your child. Talk to your child about what the story means and how it might apply in everyday life. And in fact, you can even Google, lessons from The Little Engine That Could, and you'll see all these ways to talk about the lessons about perseverance that are in that book and how to apply them to everyday life when things get hard. Another thing you can Google is children's picture books about perseverance, and there actually are many of them, many that you've actually heard of and haven't thought of about perseverance, but they're great. And if you have them at home and you read them to your child, again, you can talk about, you know, that whole quality of perseverance and how important it is and then bring it up when your child actually demonstrates it in everyday life. Another thing is you can look for even songs about perseverance. And one of my favorites is Shakira's Try Everything from Zootopia. And just look it up online and watch the video. It's wonderful. It talks about messing up, falling down, and trying again. The lyrics are, "Birds don't just fly, they fall down and get up. Nobody learns without getting it wrong." So if you have this song on your playlist and your child dances to it and sings to it, eventually you might actually talk to them about the meaning of the words. And again, the more that your child understands the concepts of perseverance, the more he or she's going to try to have it when they face difficult challenges. You can teach your child a little mantra to say to herself when things are hard. You know, you can teach her to say, "I think I can, I think I can," or try again, or try everything from the Shakira song. But using those tools where you have, you know, been reading to them or singing to them, and then pull out little sentences that they can say to themselves when things get hard. Now, if your child is struggling with a particular type of question, practice question on a test, what I want you to do is back up and do easier versions of that question and work your way back to the harder versions of that question, because that will give your child confidence that they can push through and keep going when they do get harder. Another thing you can do is you can break up a question into smaller parts to help your child get to the answer. And just remind your child that, you know, these smaller steps will help him make bigger leaps. And you can also remind your child of times when things were hard, but how they kept going and trying, and they ultimately mastered something. You know, you've done it once, you can do it again. Another thing is, in life, you want to praise your child for trying, not just for accomplishing. You know, anytime you see your child working hard at something, you know, bring that up, praise them. You know, you kept trying. That was great. I saw you working so hard on that Lego house. That's wonderful. Tell me all about it, you know. Or, I love watching you play tennis because you get better and better every time you play. So just, you know, remember to praise for trying, just to encourage that trying all the time. And here are a few more suggestions that are more specific to test questions that parents gave us. Give your child the easiest possible questions to start with so that he feels very confident that he can do this. When you're using IQ Fun Tree, start with the questions for two-year-olds, literally. And if you're using IQ Fun Pack, start with the easy questions before you move on to the medium or hard ones. Take it one day at a time and work at your child's pace. Praise your child for trying hard. That comes up again and again. Keep your early test prep sessions short and fun so your child is going to want to keep doing them. And if your child starts to lose patience because things get hard, take a break and just stretch or do a fun dance. We have something in our Skill Building Academy called Go Noodle. You might want to even try that, where your child is dancing and moving and answering questions at the same time. So that might be a good break for your child. And if your child resists answering questions or doesn't want to try to do something, it may be that the exercise has just gotten too hard. And if that's happened, just take it in really small steps. You know, talk through the question with your child, help her work through the solution, and celebrate when she gets it figured out. And you can always let your child know that, you know, if it's starting to get hard, that there aren't many questions left and there's going to be chocolate milk or some small reward waiting for her when she's finished. Another parent told me that she always encourages her son with just 5 more minutes and then we can do Play-Doh or some activity that he really wants to do. And give your child days off between practice sessions if he starts to get tired of working on questions. And one mom said this. She said, I would always pretend to be stumped myself when we'd work on questions together and they were getting hard, because my son always loved helping me answer questions that I couldn't figure out. So that might be a technique you try. And another mom said that when it started to get hard for her child and he would resist, that's when she would try to get as creative as possible and find the most playful way she could to work on the material. She said she would act silly and she would make him laugh, and that would always motivate him to try. And another mom said that they were just very persistent in working on their questions a little bit every day, and it became part of their daily routine, so her child just got used to it and didn't resist. And another mom said, when my child made a mistake, I would celebrate the mistake and get very silly about it. And my child learned that no mistake was bad. It was always an opportunity to learn. And, of course, you know, there's always little rewards. One mom talked about giving her child little star stickers anytime he pushed through and figured out a question that was a big challenge for him. And I want to just suggest that if you would like more little tips like this, and these were the tips from parents that related to perseverance, you can go to our Parent Resource Center, which is the green bar after you log in, and choose Parents Prep Tips. And there's a lot of tips like this that parents actually used and that worked for them and really helped their child, you know, master the material.